At this time, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Mark from the 1600.
Thanks, Mark. The rest of you guys forgot your gifts. My name is Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Mark.
This is new to me, but I'm going to do my best to help you find a power greater than yourself, or to draw closer to the power that you already have, as the book outlines it, page 45 to us. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live. And it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how? Where were we to find this power? Well, that is exactly what this book is about. Its main objective is to enable you, me, to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That means we have written a book, which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. I'm gonna tell you a little bit about my story about why I need Alcoholics Anonymous. And I brought a glass in that's gonna help you to figure out whether your glass is half full or half empty, and it's a spiritual meaning behind it that means a lot to me. And it's I've borrowed some of it from sermons, some of it from my experience, and I hope it helps you. It really does. My first drunk. I'm 10 years old, and my brother is the star of the football player and whatnot, and Friday night they win the football game, they bring the house and they have a kegger and it's full of people. And I'd had a shot of here with my dad on the running trips or whatnot. But I get drunk at this party, and I'm kissing all the girls, and I'm 10 years old. Well, I'm a cute 10 years old, but I'm 10 years old. And I remember my father, I'm sitting there hugging the gas meter on the side of the house, and my father and my mother walk in. My father's 6'4", my mother's 4'11". And they walk in, and they look, and I'm sitting there hugging the gas meter, you know, drunk, for the first time in my life that I remember. And he tells me, well, you get to take him to bed. That was the end of it. That's at 10 years old. And the first time I got sick was 12 years old at the horseshoe tournament in Scott Maynard horseshoe tournament. 12 years old, 1800 tequila. I remember going off and throwing up. That's the first time I remember getting sick from alcohol. First blackout. I'm 14 years old, bunch of us going to Bakersfield to go party. I come to in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm not driving. A couple of my friends in the back seat are doing blow, and me and the guy driving are, you know, smoking weed, drinking. We open the door, and it's 115 degrees in Phoenix, and we're in an air-conditioned car, and it woke me up. That was the first time in my drinking career that I have a lapse of time of what happened. There's many of those to come forth in my life. I mean, that was a common theme for me in losing space and time due to alcohol. That was my first one. My first marriage, 1986. After years of smoking crack and almost killing my wife because I thought she was having sex with another man and I had a pistol down her throat, telling me who this couple years of marriage, who are you having sex with? And she reaches down and grabs my junk and says, I just had sex with you. The delusion of that, the drugs and alcohol took me to, I thought I was seeing somebody else having sex with my wife. And I almost killed her over it. Okay? That took me, made me go to a place to get off of the cocaine at that time. She couldn't. We divorced. I tried to get right. I didn't. My brother took me to my first AA meeting during that time when I was in my addiction there. I thought I was going over to Cook Street to get new clients as I was selling cocaine. That's what I thought I was doing over there. I started talking during the meeting, and I'm all gacked out on blow, and they're like, yeah, no. If you use or drink today, we don't share in the meeting. I still carry that with me, as you might hear me ask some guys who come in here intoxicated. I ask them, keep coming back, but not to share. And so that was my first time over at the Ilano Club, the first introduction to AA, but there was nothing I didn't get sober, didn't try to get sober. I was there for, not that reason. My first auto wreck as a result of alcohol, as a result of drinking. Coming back from Jocko's, trying to get on the freeway without stopping and, roll the car over off the side of the embankment, I hear people say, I rolled 14 times. Well, no, I rolled it on its side, didn't even break the mirror. I got out and found a ride to go party some more. That was my rollover accident. There was no rolling over, just kind of missed the freeway. I didn't have a lot of drunk accidents, okay? Right during that time in my life, I'm right around 20. I did get a DUI also. Same deal, we were up at Tippecanoe at a party. Coming out of the party, there was a checkpoint. I got my first DUI. Went to Central Coast Headways over on Bunny and, $250 or something. It was real cheap back then. Did three years on your record. It was not like it is today. Okay, so back to my family. I was raised in an Italian family, a big, large Italian family, right? Okay, but I always was kind of different. I felt out of place in this family, because my brothers were all bigger. My dad was a lot bigger. My mother was small. They just said I was the runt of the family. But they brought me up in the way I should go. They went to Baptist Sunday school, and played lots of sports and went to school every day. Not every day, but, I played hooky a lot, but I went to school. One of my high school teachers is here today. But I talk about the glass being half full. If you want to know if your glass is half full or not, at that time my glass was being filled by my parents, okay? So that's what I'm going to say. We're going to say the glass is half full right then, okay? They're filling it. But I didn't let it get full, okay? I started doing drugs and alcohol at a very early age, okay? So I started emptying my glass, okay? It's what am I doing to that glass? Am I filling my glass today or am I emptying? What am I doing in my life? When was I doing in my life through the process of my alcohol and drug use? And the last time I got up here and shared, I shared my story, and it has drugs in it. And I was asked, hey, man, you can say a lot about drugs. There was a lot of drugs. Okay? I don't apologize for my story. That's what it is, I like crystal geyser water. It's good. It comes straight from the source. I've hauled all the waters in my trucking business, and that's why I kind of promote those guys. It's a family business. So I got that DUI, and I was, you know, trying to be a normal person. I didn't have a, I dropped out. They asked me in the ninth grade, they asked me to leave high school. They said, you have no business being here. You're not going to classes. You know, we know you're doing something in the parking lot. Well, I was selling weed in the parking lot. You're not, you know, you're not doing what we're here to do. I hope they changed that attitude, because they weren't pushing me to do what I should be doing. But it's not their fault, it's my fault. All of this is not my mother's fault, it's not my father's fault. Okay, it's my fault. I own all of this. All of this, you know, I had to sit there and I had to write this down because I'd forget shit. But all of this is my doing. I want to thank everyone for coming out here tonight. This means a lot to me to have your support. If you're new, please keep coming back, because this thing works. But I had to come to understand that this is my doing. Okay, I don't have anybody to blame for this. I got my first child with my second wife in 1992. This was gonna be a game changer for me. Okay, I got the good job. I'm staying clean and sober. I'm you know, being the husband that I think I'm being called to be. Okay. This doesn't last very long though. I get hurt, you know, on the job, and I milk that whole thing out. You know what I mean? I'm not as hurt as I was claiming to be, but I wasn't going back to work because they were sending me a check. And they giving me pills for the pain. Those pills turned into a horrible addiction, okay? And then when the checks stopped coming in, I needed an income because I had a family to support. Well, I know how to make money. I used to be a drug dealer. Let me just take what I have, go buy a sack, and I'll, you know, do what I do, and I'll, you know, as drug dealers do, we broke it up and we sold it and went on that way for a little while, not very long. I got into my own stash, okay, which what I was taught not to do, but I did it anyway, and People, because I'm small, people thought that they could take advantage of me. But I was delusional, and I was mean in my head. I mean, so I stabbed a big biker for trying to take my bag away from me. That was his MO. He's a local guy, and I won't mention his name. But that was the first, that set off a chain of events that hurt people and myself and my family. Because at that point I knew I needed to have some people to protect me. Some big men around me, I pay them, fill them up with drugs, and they protect me. Well, one of those guys turned on me and I ended up having to shoot him. Okay, he was paralyzed for 5 years until he succumbed to his injuries. Okay, the law reads they got 2 years, they lived past 2 years, I'm off the hook for murder. Okay, but I did go to prison over this. Okay, I had a funky blue with my attorney, and he got me 4 years for assault, simple assault. Okay, so I did time for that. The guy, he, you know, what it was, so, but he died 5 years later. I don't regret what I did. What happened? I was protecting my family. Is, you know, even though we were in a bad relationship, I was protecting my family. And that's I'm sticking to that, regardless of all my bad doings. I went to prison, got out, went back. Got out again, There was a sergeant at the Tehachapi State Prison, and I was a dick, you know, in the prison system then, because I was on doing straight time. They weren't going to give me, you know, I wasn't going to work because they were not going to give me time off for good work, good behavior. Just, I was going to do my time. And then when I had a date, now it wasn't going to change by anything I did or didn't do unless I violated in the prison, which I did once. But I was being a dick, man, being a little punk dick, you know. And the sergeant pulled me into his office and said, "Hey, man, come on in here," you know. And, you know, they had me gaffed up already because they were getting ready to, you know, throw me in the hole. And he took the cuffs off me and set me down and talked to me like a man. You know, and treated me like a man. Right, and for the first time in my life, I kind of respected somebody else. You know, because I didn't for a long time, because my father was abusive. My brothers, you know, they were always beating on me, not just for fun. My friends were just, you know, associates. We partied together. But the man sat there and he, you know, treated me with some respect. And I took that. Okay, and I got out. And me and a guy named Joey Gacho, and some of you may know him, he's passed away now, we were getting high, and we said, well, let's go to NA. So we went to NA, and he got clean right away. It took me a little more stubborn. It took me a little while to get clean. Daryl was there. There's a few people that were there. I got clean. And I was clean for 9 years, okay? And then I started getting to church, you know, found a wife, you know, got everything back, everything was going good. And, you know, I stopped going to meetings. Stopped working with others, okay? Now, while I'm, and my glass is full, my glass at this point in my life, it overflowed. I got recovery, I got God, everything's good. Everything's perfect. I mean, you know, money's going coming in good. Everything's perfect. I'm thirsty too, so. Everything's good in my life. So we're reading the Bible, you know, and it says that if for stomach ailments, you'd have a little wine. You know, for sacraments, you can have a little wine. I prayed about it and my wife and I prayed about it, and I prayed with some people that we congregated with. And yeah, man, I'm born again. I'm a new creation. I can have a little wine. I can't. I'm alcoholic. Alcohol in my system causes me to react different than other people, than normal people. The reaction it does for me, and I tell people, because I get offered, you know, I go to the casino, and it's one of my, you know, things I do now for fun. And at different places where, you know, alcohol said, well, you want, you know, I'm doing far less than this. You want a drink? No, you don't want me to have a drink. And I tell people, I'm allergic to alcohol. Oh, really? Well, how's that? Well, it causes my clothes to fall off. And they go, huh? Yeah, just try it. So I can't handle alcohol, okay? I used to think I could. And then after having a period of recovery, I thought I could handle alcohol, and I couldn't, okay? I couldn't. And that is my last time out. And it was 10 years. It was 10 years of, you know, I had everything good. My wife sent me in here one time to get help into this room. And I saw that no one comes to hate with a success story up above that door over there. And I thought, well, that's bullshit. You know, when I left here, I was making $40,000. I'm making a whole lot more now, you know, when coming back. So I feel successful. The success wasn't about the monies that I'm earning. It's about my spirit, Okay, but I saw that, man. I don't find that anywhere in their literature, but it's on the wall, and they wanted to leave it there, so we did. But I came in here for one meeting. I say that because that's what caused me to go out right then. I mean, I wasn't here. I just was. I don't need this. I don't need this people. I don't need to hear these stories. I'm still drinking. Wasn't done. Went out and had to have brain surgery in 2010. Damn near killed me for my drinking. I don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened. Probably. I think I got hit in the back of the head with something, a large blunt object, but nobody fessed up to it, and we were at a party out in Coyama, and they found me in the woodpile, passed out, and I had to go to the doctor a couple of days later when I just could not stand the pain, and they did emergency brain surgery to save my life. It slowed me down, but it didn't stop me. I had a trucking company, a limousine business, and alcoholism. I don't have a limousine business anymore. The alcoholism and the trucking stayed. For a while, okay, until 2017, where I found my wife. At the time, I had been saving monies because she was done. She was done living with a raging alcoholic. And that's what it was. It was a complete raging alcoholic. I had bottles stashed all over the place. I was driving big rig drunk, I mean, it didn't matter. I was drinking 24/7. I woke up and I started drinking, we were on vacation one time, and I've heard tell the story, and I'll tell it again. We were on vacation one time. She's just like, man, I'm coming up at 4 a.m, grabbing a bottle out of the mini fridge. She says, she gets up, you think you can go one day? It's like the second day there. One day without drinking? I said, well, yeah, I think I can go one day without drinking. She said, oh, good. She laid back down. I cracked the beer open, and she jumped up. What the hell? I thought you can go one day without drinking. I can. But today's not going to be that day. I didn't get a day that vacation I did. I don't remember a vacation I had. I got a day without drinking. We'd go to Vegas. We got a regular thing. Was, because I sold the limousine business. I kept the convertible limousine. We got a little girlfriend. We were going to Vegas every year for a week during July. And I'd take a driver with me, and I would be drunk. They have to have our own rooms and everything, where the girls in one room and me and the driver in the other room, because I was a problem. I couldn't even be in the same room with my wife because I would get so drunk that she couldn't handle me. Well, I have to, my driver, he could handle me, or try to anyway. But I just stayed drunk the entire time. And I didn't ruin those times because they would just leave me and go out and do their thing. And I was happy. I was fine. Going to the bathroom, and that's where I had a bottle stashed. And we're on vacation in Las Vegas, and they're out having a good time in a convertible limousine on the strip with drivers and girls, and having a lot of fun. And I'm sitting in the bathroom at our timeshare, drinking by myself, because I'm alcoholic. That's all I care about, is drinking. ...2017 comes around. My glass is empty right now. My glass is completely empty. I find my wife through... not stealing money from me, but taking her own money that she made in her income, not contributing to the general fund of the household. She was my bookkeeper in my business, but she was taking all of her monies and putting it in a separate account. saving it so that she could leave me. And she did. I called her out, I found it, and she said, fine, I want a divorce. And we orchestrated the divorce through my drunkenness. But I was generous in it, you know. I was generous with her, with the money. So I knew better than to get lawyers and give the lawyers half. I said, look, man, we'll figure out, you do all the work. You figure out what our assets are, what's yours and what's mine, and we'll split it down the middle. You know, you're not taking my house and you're not taking my business, so figure out how much they're worth, and I'll give you half of that in cash. Zero debt. And she walked away with a big sack of cash. Cash money. Zero debt. And, you know, and I kept the house and the business. And before that all came about, after she had already moved out, so she moved out and I'm watching her move out. A week later or so, my dad dies. My best friend comes over, gets me, takes me out to drink, for drinks and dinner. You know, we try to pick up on the waitress. She wasn't having it. So I take him to a whorehouse. He didn't know where they were. While he's inside, I'm waiting in the car for him. While he's inside the whorehouse, his daughter's being murdered. I found out the next morning, man, that just about killed me. That just about killed me. It was just more than I could handle. So I drank more. So I just went into just a complete nosedive, just F everything. You know, I had lost my license because of, no, I haven't lost my license yet. I go out and get a DUI. Okay? I go out and get a DUI. Then I lose my license. In a tailspin of life. Not trying anything. Just, you know, not caring. As long as I had more booze. I didn't care about anything else. As long as I had more booze, could get more booze. My daughter, my neighbor's daughter, 17 years old, whatever, drive me to the store to get another bottle. Often. We need to move that light because I can't see the clock. That'll be corrected. Okay, so I go that to a period there where I get a big bag of cocaine. That's where I got 6 months, and I'm not gonna be able to drink, or I don't have a probation. I don't have anything over me for. Anything over me for causing me not to use and drink. So I'm just gonna get back going. I'm gonna just go off the deep end here. So I'm in my house, and I'm using coke, and IOD on purpose, because I wanted to kill myself, because I had misses all up and down my arms and my legs, and I looked at myself and I couldn't find a anywhere I could reach. That I wouldn't miss, because I would just hit, not care if I hit the vein, because I couldn't see. I was in such a state of delusion. And so I figured I'd just kill myself. So, you know, got a couple of syringes full, about 2 8-balls of cocaine and a bunch of pills. Didn't take them all, though, because I wanted to do some of mine, make it look like an accident. Not that I had insurance. You know, for anything, but I don't know what my mind was thinking. I remember thinking that, though. I wanted to make it like an accident. And I found myself at Peter's Gate. Okay? I'd OD'd. And I'm at Peter's Gate, and I'm start to weep. And he's at an area, and, you know, there's a line of people, and you know, my whole life flashed before me, and I look like on an iPod. Just real quick, like that. This is what happened. This is what I saw. And I started to weep. I said, He said, "You have anything to say?" He said, "Well, you need to tell my family that I'm sorry, because I realized I had just killed myself." Swept something like that. I said, "No, you tell them yourself." I wake up, I'm face down in the hot tub. I'm not sucking water. I don't know how long I've been there. I get out, I go into my fireplace room, and I'm just freaked the out. I am freaked out. I call my ex-wife, she didn't live with me. Come help, I need your help. I call Fabian, come get the dope that I still had, you know, an ounce or so left, come get it. I end up getting it back from him later, but. I got it out of there right then, okay? I started going to meetings, and I'm still loaded. Coming in here loaded for 69 days, okay? And then sometime before Christmas, I got off the alcohol, put the alcohol away. And then January 6th, I had a little bag of crystal meth and a pipe to smoke it with. Called my using buddy, "Hey man, come over here and get this." And I gave him, that was like 9 o'clock on January 6th, 2018. Okay, so January 7th, 2018 is my sobriety date. I came in here and I got serious with Alcoholics Anonymous. It took me 60 days to get out of the fog. I mean, it didn't happen overnight, but I kept coming back. Okay, I had a sponsor already. And I told him, you know, he didn't want to work with me. He'll sponsor me. He's not willing to start steps until you're clean. You know, he wasn't playing that. Wayne was my first sponsor. And when you get clean, we'll start working steps. So I told him, okay, today's a good day. And I have all the text messages, because he's like, "How are you doing today?" No. You know, this went on for a couple of months, you know? And no. Today's not a good day. But today was a good day. Today, I think, is the day. And I got sober. And I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was able to apply myself to this. But step one, because I knew I was alcoholic. Okay, I knew I was alcoholic. I didn't realize my life had become unmanageable, because like with that sign and my story with that, I thought I was managing. I thought everything was good until I realized, no, I just fortunate enough to have people managing things for me. You know, I wasn't managing anything, I was just drinking. Let me just go through a couple steps here real quick, guys. I've just been down through this. Man, I mean, really didn't know my drunk log was going to be that, take that much time. Steps one, two, and three, I can't. He can, so I asked him to. That was how I had to get right with God, okay? Steps four, five, six, and seven, taking inventory, cleaning house. Gaining some hope at this point. Okay, getting some hope at this point. And that's what's getting right with myself. Okay? And it tells us in there, in the book, that, you know, before we're halfway through, we'll be amazed. Okay? And at this point in my life, you know, I'm thinking, you know, and I've always thought of my glass half full, half empty. That's why I bring this up. And, you know, so I'm thinking my glass is half full right now, right? Because, well, when you're filling a glass, it's half full. And if it's full and you're drinking from it, then it's half empty, if you didn't know that. But with your faith, I was amazed, because I'm looking at a half full glass. Okay? But I've, in the work that I'm doing, my God is sharing with me. He says, no, man, your glass is full. Well, how is that? Because it's only half full. No, it's half full of water. It's half full of air. It's, the glass is full. It's not of empty space. There's air in there filling that glass. It's like my spirit, the Spirit of God. He's here. He's everywhere. I don't see him. I can't taste him. Okay? But he's there, just like the air that I breathe. It's there. It's my God. Okay? And he showed me that as I'm working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I haven't completed my 12th step yet. And he shows me I'm here. And I talk to him, you know, because I get delusional and I talk to people and he's there, you know, I mean, he answers. You know, the walls do sometimes, but I think, you know, poor construction. So I walk around with a full glass today as a result of Alcoholics Anonymous, as a result of getting in at the 12, that I was going to bring my 12 and 12 in my book, and I decided not to because I have a book that I keep here that it's not mine, but it's the clubs and or the groups that's in the club, and I like it because it's got duct tape on it, and I keep it and I make notes in it and stuff. Now I forgot what the hell I was talking about. Before we're halfway through, so I'm doing, you know, 7, 8, and 9. Okay, well 7, 6, and 7, which were to my two hardest steps, but 7, 8, and 9. Okay, 6, 7, 8, 9 to clean up. To get right with myself, okay? That was, or to get right with others. That was 4, 5, 6, four and five, getting right with me, and 6, 7, 8, 9, getting right with others. Okay, so I'm cleaning up the records of my past. Now, in doing so, I have a sponsor that's Daryl. He helped me through that. He helped me through the process, okay? Because I didn't know how to actually do it, because when I was in the program before, we went through a quick crash course, you know, go through the 12 steps, you know, 90 days and you're done. And I didn't do a thorough process. Okay, I had amendments. I had to make amends for things in my life that I had done so that I could make it right. Okay, part of that, so I don't go to jail, because he tells us, make amends to people whenever possible, except when they do so when they would injure them or others. Well, I'm not others. Okay? I'm not others. My children, my child, and my grandchildren, they are others, though. Okay? And if I go to prison for something I did 30 years ago, it hurts them. But if I owe somebody monies from 30 years ago, and I'm able to make amends, put a money in an envelope, and mail it to them with no return address, I'm getting right with me and my God. And they get the money, they don't know where the hell it comes from, whatever, you know. That's how I deal with that, okay? How you deal with your, do that with the sponsor, because that's what I did. I did it with the sponsor, and he walked me through on how to deal with that wreckage of my past. Ten, 11, 12. Continue practice and improve. I continue to come to meetings. I continue to participate in my recovery. I work with a couple of men now. I had asked them to be here. I told them I was going to be here. Hopefully they would show up, and they didn't. But that's okay. You know, they got lives now because they're sober. And one of them's father's sick, and I understand. But they have lives now because they're sober, because they're doing the work. One of them, he needs to do a little more work, but, you know, he'll get it when he's ready. But I'm here, and I'm available to men that come into this room. And I noticed there was a couple here, and they're out now. I want to welcome the newcomers. I know Lee, I've seen Lee around, man. And I'm glad you're here tonight, man. I'm glad you're here to come and hear a message. It's not a very good message, but it's a message from my heart. And it's my story. You know, and it's just what it is. You know, I'm not a pitch man, but I was asked, thank you for asking me to lead out or to speak. It's my story, you know, and there's a lot of drugs in it. It's just, that's what happened in my life. But I'm sober today, and you can get sober too. And each and every one of you can stay sober, you know. And I see some men around this room, and I don't really... Lynn, I asked Linda to speak, to read tonight, because Lynn and I, we help at this club, and we have since I've been here a little while, and she's been a long while, and she means a lot to me in my recovery. She was there during the time when we were remodeling this facility, and I don't think without her strength, I would have made it through that time, not without drinking, but without throwing up my hands and giving up and not following through. You know, we have Charles here. Charles and Lynn painted the inside of this room, guys. You know, Robert and I helped take all the stuff down, and they painted the inside. There were people that we all helped. We all helped. Robert helped a lot. And there was a few people that remodeled this club. This club's very special to me. That was during the COVID, okay? During the, we got shut down. And my heart was broken because I just got sober. You know, I just got on the board of directors, and I was doing good stuff. And you know, I had the support of people. Robert's also on the board. You know, I was just barely 2 years sober, and then they asked me to come on the board because I have some, you know, some history on another board, the Alana Club. I used to be on the board of directors of the Alana Club on Ben Wiley, and I just didn't know, you know, they asked me to, you know, hey man, why don't you come and, you know, participate in what we're doing, you know, because, and I was honored to. I was, and I still am. But I come to find out after having taken that position, this is a signing sheet from the people who came to the first meeting at the San Remo Valley Group. When they got this building and had their first meeting here, those are the people that signed in the signing sheet that were here that day. One of those people was my grandfather. Okay, there's a sheet over there that has my name on it from our 50th anniversary here, and Lynn and Robert, you know, many of you's names on that. This is here where my grandfather died sober. They got the date wrong. Another correction I'll have to make. Well, they have the year wrong. He didn't die. He died in 77. I mean, so anyhow, this facility means. And then I'm talking with some other gentlemen from our community who knew my grandfather, knew my grandmother. My grandmother was Al-Anon. And so the Al-Anon room, we're really doing a lot of upgrades to it to make it nice for them, because there's a special place in my heart for Al-Anon. Because my mother, my grandmother, I didn't know that growing up. I knew my grandfather would get up on Sunday night and they would leave their house and they'd get all dressed up and they're going to a meeting. I didn't know what kind of meeting. Next come to find out, they were going to an Alcoholics Anonymous speaker meeting, you know? And that's why, you know, Glenn and I, we always, you know, sometimes I always try to dress up for the speaker meeting. I try to at least put a collared shirt on. That's why I wore tie tonight. I don't wear ties. I have ties. I have suits. It was too hot for a suit. But out of respect for Alcoholics Anonymous, that's why I'm wearing a tie tonight. And I walk with my glass full today because it has the Spirit of God in there. And so I want to thank everybody for allowing me to pitch tonight. And I hope you got something out of it. Thank you.
This is yours.
Yeah.
All right. Let's give Mark another hand.